This morning we shall continue our survey of the book of Romans, and we are still working in chapter 16. Now I'm going to try to finish the book of Romans before we finish reading it in our morning scripture reading. Romans chapter 16, and before we look together at some of the words of the apostle, let us pray and acknowledge our need of the ministry of the Holy Spirit once again. Let us pray together. Our blessed Lord and Savior, again and again we thank you for the Holy Scriptures. And like the psalmist of old, we say, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Lord God, we have this desire within us to learn your truth and to live that truth out in our daily lives as your witness. How is it that we have this hunger and thirst for your truth? Only because of the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. You have changed our hearts and minds, for there was that time indeed we cared not for your truth. We had no interest whatsoever, but by your grace that has changed. And so we ask this morning that you might open our eyes to see wondrous things. As we've already acknowledged, only by the work of the Spirit can your people be truly fed this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, undoubtedly, a number of you have opened your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. But if you need to, I want you to go back to that last hymn we sang, Amazing Grace. Now, the particular arrangement we have has five stanzas. And what I would like for you to do, if at all possible, choose which stanza you like the best. Choose which stanza means most to you. Choose what stanza maybe just recently really had a place in your heart. What stanza would you choose? Now you notice in the hymn there is progression. It starts off with this grace, a grace that awakens, a grace that convicts. And it's a grace that reveals, it's a grace that perseveres. It's a grace that can comfort in death. It is a grace that we will sing about and enjoy for all eternity. Well, what stanza would you choose? Well, like it or not, I'm going to choose one for you. I'm going to choose that third stanza. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And so that is a theme I'm going to tie in with our scripture text for this morning. Out of the 16th chapter, starting at verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, quite often this section here is referred to, you might have a note in your Bible, as a benediction. Or it might be as a doxology, and a doxology is usually defined as something giving praise to God, and certainly praise is being given here to God, right? You notice, to him. He is able to keep us, able to keep his people. Oh, it could be like a benediction. It's a pronouncement of a blessing. And indeed, this is the blessing for the people of God, these words. And as we look at this doxology or this benediction, it's one of encouragement. One of encouragement for the people of God. And so as we think about this particular doxology or benediction, I want us to consider, first of all, the place that it has in the book of Romans. the place that this doxology has, the place it has for our encouragement. Well, you say it comes at the end of the letter. Well, that is true. You say, well, with reference to all the benedictions or the doxologies, they always come at the end of Paul's letter or one of the apostles' letter. That is true. But why might that happen? Is it fair to ask that question? Well, maybe that's just the way you finish a letter. We have certain ways we finish our letters, don't we? Sincerely yours, in love, or for pious, we might say in grace or something like that, you see. But I suggest to you that more than that is involved. And one of the simple benedictions that is used again and again has to do with this matter of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And if you stop and think about it, my, how important that is. Because that usually comes at the end of a letter. And what has Paul done in that letter? Well, he's given forth instruction, hasn't he? And he's given forth information, he's given forth warning, and he's given forth duties. How am I going to comply with all that? I know I don't have it in and of myself. I need grace. I need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with his people. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with his assembly. And so here we have this benediction. It seems like we had one earlier. When you go back and you look at the end of verse 20, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen. And then we might use our imagination, and some of the people there with Paul when he was dictating this letter said, hey Paul, can we say hi to some friends at Rome? Well, yes. And so some friends at Rome are greeted. And then I notice in verse 24 you have a benediction again, but that's questionable whether that's really in the text. But then he has this benediction, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. A benediction of encouragement, the doxology of encouragement. Why? Well, we can go back into the letter and we can find out why, can't we? We go back into the near context and remember what was said in verse 17 of this 16th chapter? He puts forth a warning. He says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. And so he gives forth this warning. He's not saying that such people are actually active there at that time, but he's warning they will come, and you're going to need God's help. God's help, you see, not to get taken in, not to be pulled away from what? Well, the things that you have been taught, pulled away from the doctrine, pulled away from the things of the faith. And so you're going to need God's help. And of course, all of the children of God know they need that help, don't they? I have no doubt I'm looking into the faces of Christian people. And more than once this past week, more than once a day, did you not cry out, God help me. God help me. God help me. And so in order, you see, not to get taken in by these people, and we are warned they are very subtle people. Did not Jesus use the terminology? They come to you in sheep's clothing. Are we not warned about those who kind of sneak their way in? Are we not warned even here in verse 18 about by smooth words, by flattering speech, they can deceive people? And is it not true that even some of the what we'll call strong saints have been pulled aside a few steps out of the way from time to time? Did not Peter get pulled in? Didn't the apostle have to say something to him as recorded in Galatians chapter 2? How Peter got caught up? Well, the Jews aren't around. I can buddy up with the Gentiles, but the Jews come. Uh-oh. I mean, it wasn't right. And Paul says, even Barnabas got caught up in this hypocrisy. So you see, it's something that we need this grace. We need this keeping power of God, you see. And again, probably a few of us here, look back over your Christian life. You took a step or two out of the right path. A step or two out of that which is according to truth, 16 ounces to the pound. But God in His mercy, God in His grace, He brought you back. And so here, we could say this doxology has put forth this benediction, telling us about how God helps His people. In the immediate context, it would have reference to these people that cause divisions, these people who try to pull us away from the faith. But maybe we can expand it a little more. We need that keeping power of God with reference to our fellowship with the saints. Didn't He bring out in chapters 14 and following about this matter of Christian liberty and Christian love? And you don't have hard feelings, or you don't have disgust, or you don't write off a brother because he doesn't have the same liberties you do. And in history, hasn't this Christian liberty divided congregations, divided, brought up different denominations? We need the grace of God. We need that keeping power of God, you see. You need that keeping power of God to get along with some of your brethren here, because there are just certain things about them that are very irritating. You need grace. You need the help of God. But then, isn't there more involved if we keep going here? Isn't there a warning about being conformed into this world? And don't you read something in Romans chapter 7 about that agonizing fight that goes on between the spirit and the flesh? Do we not need God's help? My, how subtle the ways of the flesh. My, how often we can be tripped up by the ways of And you remember the warning that the Lord Jesus gave to the Apostle Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you that he might sift you as wheat. But when you are converted, that is, when you are brought back to me after this strained time, you strengthen your brethren. You use that experience to help. How is it that Peter came back? It was a work of God's grace. It was a work of the Spirit. Peter denied his Lord, but eventually went out and he wept bitterly. A lot of people weep over their sins, but they never repent. But the Lord restored him, made him useful. If you stop and think about your life, would I totally be wrong in saying that you strayed a few times? You've been in that far country. Like the prodigal son, you came to yourself. You came to yourself because of a work of grace. Because God's keeping you. He brings you back. So here we have this place, this doxology. It appears to be in a very good place. And I would go so far to say that every verse in the Bible has its place. God put it there. It has its importance. And so here, let's look now at the promise that is set forth. There's a promise here, isn't there? You notice, now to Him who is able to establish you, and that He is able, that present tense verb that is used there, He's always able. Not a time when He's not able. The Lord, He doesn't take any sick days. No vacation. He doesn't ever lose any of his power, lose any of his strength. And what is he able to do? Well, he is able to establish you. That is, make you firm. He's able to set you in the right way, in the faith. That's the word that is used to describe our Lord Jesus in Luke 9. It says that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he knew what was coming. He knew about the horrible treatment. But yet he set his face. Yes, he exposed his back to the smiters, his face to the yanking out of the beard, to all the mockery, all the cruelty, set his face. Lord God Almighty, that's what he does for us. He can set our face. He can set us though we know we're going to have some suffering. Look at the martyrs. Why didn't they recant? Well, some of the phonies did. But they set their face. They would not deny their Lord, not deny his truth. Is that according to their own power and strength, the will of the flesh? By the grace of God. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit. But again, it's a word used. You remember the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man, if I can come up there and get a little water on my tongue, and Abraham's and others just fixed off. You can't come. It's the word used with reference to the early church in Acts 18, where some of the apostles go out and it says that they strengthened the brethren. And so what the Lord does, isn't it? He strengthens you. He gives you strength. And haven't all of us been confronted with situations that just no way, no way. But through prayer, what happens? The Lord by his grace, the Lord by his Spirit, he enables you to face a very difficult thing. And you may be here today a little anxious about some things coming up in your life. How are you going to handle it? To him who is able to establish you. You go to him who can give a man strength to do what he cannot do in and of himself. He strengthens his people. But again, we look at this promise and we might ask, what's behind this promise? And I think we could say, behind this promise is God's eternal purpose, God's decree to save his elect. I mean, is it possible in such a statement as this to come across that horrible doctrine of predestination? It just might be. To him who is able to establish. And he's able to do that. We go back and we've worked through that 8th chapter. You notice those familiar words, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so this keeping power, it's according to that eternal purpose of God. He's going to keep his elect people. And you remember the comforting words of Jesus, my sheep hear my voice. They're in my hand, the Father's hand, and no thing can snatch them out. And that promise that he that's begun a good work in you will carry it on until the day of Christ. So here is this promise. He's able to keep us. And again, as you sit here this morning, you profess the faith in Jesus Christ. do you pat yourself on the back? Is it your own self that got you to this point? We went through many dangers, toils, and snares, and I've come this far. Isn't it by grace? Isn't it by the work of God? And can't you reflect back over your Christian life? There were others, perhaps, who were with you. They started with you. Where are they? Fell by the wayside. They were not kept by the power of God. And so you notice something else. According to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret from since the world began. So he keeps a man in the faith. He keeps a man in the truth. And then it speaks about according to the revelation, this mystery kept secret. And I think that probably has reference to this matter of the fact that the Gentiles were going to be brought into the kingdom. Jew and Gentile together in the church. For you remember what the apostle said to the Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, to which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. And so that's that mystery, you see. Oh, there were little glimpses of it, but now it's fully set forth. And that seems to be the answer, because what does he go on and speak about? He speaks about the fact that this gospel is to be preached to all the nations according to the commandment of God for obedience to the faith. The gospel is to be preached and inseparably connected with faith in Christ is obedience. Faith and obedience go together. There's no such thing, I believe, and go on in your sin. That's not what the Bible teaches. Remember the old catechism. What is repentance and a life? Repentance and a life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin, acknowledgement of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred turn from his sin, and he seeks after obedience. You see, the man that's been granted repentance into life is the man, the woman, who wants to obey God, wants to put off the things that God does not approve of. That's the work of grace. The gospel brings obedience into the lives of those who truly embraces. Now to him who is able. So does that mean that I just kind of sit back and I have nothing? No, our God is a God of means. And so he's given forth provision. Provision what he uses to enable us to stand, enable us to resist, that brings us back when we stray. What's that provision? Well, you know them very well, don't you? One would be the Word of God. If a person wants to be strong and wants to do battle against the powers of darkness, he needs to be a person who does the feeding upon the Word of God. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesian elders. I commend you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst the saints. One who's had that renewed heart is one who wants to learn that word. But yet there's something else, isn't there? There's this matter of prayer. You come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. You see the Lord Jesus Christ all those hours, even through the night in prayer, and all the epistles as encouragement to pray. Then, of course, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You need to come together, the people of God. For when we come together, what are we doing? Well, for one thing, we come into the special presence of Jesus Christ. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. You don't like coming into the presence of Christ? And then we encourage, we exhort one another. We receive instruction. We give ourselves unto prayer. And so God is a God who uses me. It's a great promise here, something very encouraging. And if you've been in the Christian life very long, you've experienced this. This keeping power of God. Oh, some of the battles you've been in. How did you make it through? It's God.
If you look toward the future, you'll be looking toward God.
God who is able to help us do far above whatever we think or we ask. He is the one who keeps us. Amen. Let us pray together. Our blessed Lord God, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your keeping power. And indeed, as we reflect upon our lives, we have no doubt that you are the one who has brought us thus far. And Lord God, we truly believe that by your grace, the work of your Spirit, according to your promise, according to your eternal purpose, we shall one day be in your presence. There we shall serve you forever and ever. Help us to be diligent in our use of means. We pray through Christ.